Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about brokenness and dependence on God. And we want to pick up where we left off at evidence of brokenness. This is a way you can look at your own experience and also gives a clue when looking at others, what others may be going through and what they may be struggling with. So how do you know if you or someone else has gone through the breaking process? There are three major clues or indications that reveal brokenness in an individual. Now, these may not be apparent during the process, likely won't be, but after the fact, this is a way of knowing that you've gone through it and that it's had its effect in your life, the intended effect. Each person goes through this on their own. You can't help someone go through this, through the breaking process. You can't predict how long it's going to take or what it's going to look like. So we want to be gentle in drawing conclusions. No one can do this for you. Nobody can go through the breaking process for you or on your behalf. Like, parents can't do this for their kids. Spouses can't do this for one another. A lot of times, especially in a marriage situation, one will try to help the other person as they're going through the breaking process. And that it doesn't really help because it can actually extend the period of time and interfere with what God is doing in their lives. We've got a lot of misconceptions about marriage, and that's one of them, that God sees you as one. And that's just not true. That's one of those things that religious tradition has sort of foisted on all of us. God sees you as individuals because you are individuals. You can't claim brokenness because you've gone through a crisis or hard times or because you've made it through a difficult financial situation or relationship or health issue. You may have experienced a really bad circumstances in your life. But that doesn't mean you've been broken. It doesn't mean you've gone through that breaking process. And just because someone in your family has, maybe your parents or your spouse or your children have gone through the breaking process, that's no reflection on you. So what are the three signs that we can look at? First, brokenness is evidenced by a victorious mentality. Where once a person may have bemoaned their present situation or past circumstances, been a complainer, for instance, the victim or martyr mentality has been replaced by a new realization of who they are. You'll see this, you know, when you start listening to people, how they talk about themselves, how they talk about their situation. Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, complaining about work. But our words speak what we think about ourselves. When you start talking about yourself as powerless, as needing anything else than God to help you, to stand in your way, to be your advocate. You're acting out as a victim. You're still having that victim mentality. Now, this can take time, but you'll see a change in others where someone may have been complaining about all the terrible things that have happened in their lives and all the wrongs that have been done. And even if they start talking about their own mistakes, that's where they're living, is how bad things are, the consequences of bad mistakes, or circumstances beyond their control. It's that victim mentality. When we see people, oh, I can't leave this job because I'll never be able to find another one. That's clear evidence that they've not gone through the breaking process. They've not truly experienced dependence on God. They still have that victim mentality. So over time, the language will change. The perception and behavior will change to line up with the whole person they truly are. When you have been broken and you've experienced dependence, you recognize your new identity, not just in belief, oh, yeah, I'm a son of God. Yeah, I'm, you know, ruling and reigning now. I'm an overcomer. But it's a major area that you have overcome. And your new identity has been made real to you by God. You can't be a victim and a victor at the same time. God will not allow it. Your new identity will not allow it. Brokenness will not allow it. The greatest outward change is that they will no longer blame others or pity themselves or even draw attention to themselves or what they have been through or are going through. In other words, what we've talked about so often, even when if someone has been broken and they're going through hard times, you won't hear about it. Because they won't see it as hard times. They will see their circumstances as something that they have agreed to fulfill and accomplish God's purpose in their life, which is dependence and learning to rule and reign over those things. That those things, those circumstances, those tragedies, those crises, whatever they are there to be overcome. And if they are there in our lives to be overcome, we know that God has a way for us to overcome. We don't have to understand it. It's not a matter of us being strong enough or mature enough or gifted enough or praying enough or knowledgeable enough or knowing enough scriptures or any of that. It's asking God, God, what are we doing in this situation? What am I learning? What do I need to do? It's not that complicated. It's not easy. But it's fairly straightforward. When we are learning to go back to God with everything, Lord, what's your purpose here? What am I doing here? It's pretty straightforward. The second is an attitude of gratitude. Somehow the process develops such a level of acceptance of the ways of the Lord that even those circumstances that were once dreaded become embraced. We think, okay, what's the worst thing that could ever happen? And then when it does happen, or we realize the fear is no longer there, we embrace it. We accept it. Not because we've resigned ourselves to it, but again, we see everything from a different perspective as overcomers, not victims. Everything around them, all things, people, all things, all people, all circumstances, our past, our present, our future, are all appreciated as gifts from God. Not something to get over with, avoid, or seen as roadblocks, or even attacks. Their primary cause, their primary purpose in our life is to drive us or challenge us to depend on God more. So there's never any negative circumstances. It's all opportunity. When we allow them to be whatever He decides they are, they were or becoming in our lives, we have come to be at rest in God. And we can appreciate whatever He brings into our lives. As we experience that freedom that is the result of brokenness, we allow others to be where they're at as well, gratefully. This is not the saccharine sweet attitude of blind denial. You know, oh, well, we can't judge them because, you know, that wouldn't, what would God do? You know, God doesn't judge, so we can't judge them. That's not what we're talking about. We do. We judge other people's actions, but not their motives. That's the whole clear distinction. Why they're doing something is none of your business. But we're not doormats. We are not blind. We're not doing them any favors. Our experiential knowledge of having been through darkness and now knowing by experience that truly all things are lovely, wonderful, and from God gives us that peace and rest and gratitude. So that instead of coming to everything with that victim mentality, we now come to every situation with gratitude. So when people say, "How are you doing?" we say, "I'm grateful." We appreciate God. We appreciate every circumstance, every situation that He has crafted for us. We may not know why. We may not understand how this could possibly be contributing to our learning to live in victory, but we know it's from Him. And because we've experienced how much He loves us, not just by believing it, not just by feeling it, but by experiencing it. We could say that through the breaking process, He brings us to the end of ourselves. And what's at the end of yourself? It's Him. He's right there. In the deepest, darkest place where we consider ourselves to be the greatest failure, the greatest, have the greatest needs, the greatest darkness that we want to hide, He's there. And the only way we find out is by going through the darkness, through our own victim mentality, through our own inability, through our own selfishness, everything that's about our self-life that we loathe or have used, we come to the end of that. It fails us. And He shows up. We know He's there in the good times, in the good parts of it, in the good parts of our lives. But until we know by experience that he's just as much there in the bad times, in the bad places, in our weaknesses, he's not fully our God. So it's through brokenness that we develop an attitude of gratitude. Finally, brokenness is evidenced by graciousness. The final proof of being broken is a willingness to accept what God gives. We have been freed from ourselves in order to be made whole, to be healed, to be set free. We are given a contentment in our present circumstances, an expectation and a hope for our future, and a redemption for our past. He's taking care of everything. So he now makes us able to receive that new wineskin, to receive the new wine, the eternal life that he pours into us now. His boundless love, unconditional acceptance and approval, and even his pride and excitement for each of us as unique individuals. He makes us able to accept our greatest needs being met. There's no more struggle for acceptance or getting healed or overcoming a certain objective in order to then rest. We come out of the breaking process in rest. So you will see changes in behavior, changes in attitude, changes in language, very often changes in habits and relationships in yourself and in those who have gone through a breaking process. They may not even see it, that all of a sudden what used to tick someone off doesn't tick them off anymore. Someone who used to be short-tempered isn't short-tempered anymore. Someone who is critical of others at the drop of a hat isn't critical anymore. When we start seeing that in ourselves as well, that gives us the assurance that God has made the difference. One of the oddest things about the breaking process is though we're in up to our eyeballs and above, in the midst of the process, we can't see it. We don't see the effects. We don't see the outcomes and the consequences until we're through it. We just let God do whatever it is he's doing and not interfere. He knows where he wants to take us, and he knows that when he is through, we will be able to receive the eternal life that he intends for us now to receive in our soul. Remember, you've already received it in your spirit. So the whole question is, what are you going to do in this life? Are you going to insist on living out of the flesh? Or are you going to accept his eternal life now. So, what are hindrances? What are some hindrances to brokenness, to the breaking process? Though that process, the process of being broken, is completely in God's hands, there are things that we do that can extend the length of the process or make it harder than it needs to be. We can even delay going through the process, putting it off until God gathers the circumstances together again. Now, this is, again, God certainly knew that. And your spirit knew this. And it's all part of the process. But from our perspective, we want to see things that help us recognize things before they happen, so that when they do, we will know what's going on for ourselves and for others. Because these hindrances are also under God's control. The fact that you are listening to this program, God planned this for you. And he planned and arranged whatever effect it may or may not have on your life. It's all under his control. First, brokenness can be hindered by trying to understand. We often think that if we could just understand what is going on, it would be easier to go through it. It would be easier to cooperate. Or we could help in some way. We want to help God along with the process. But part of that's the whole point, is God saying, no, I'm doing this on my own. He doesn't need us to understand or even cooperate. What the desire to understand is often really exposing is that we want to control what God does and how he moves in our lives. The strength of our mind is still self-strength, which is flesh. If God were to answer your question, God, why are you doing this? What is going on? It would not make it easier. Nothing will make it easier. We all want to understand what God is doing. That's why we're listening. That's why we're asking. But there comes a point in time where you will even have to give up the notion that understanding will make a difference. The Lord may give you understanding, but it won't make a difference. It won't change your situation. It's not going to speed things up. You're still not going to be able to help or cooperate with God, because what he's doing is at such a deep level. All he wants you to do is not interfere. So don't be looking to rely on your understanding as you go through this process. God will not let it help. Second, brokenness can be hindered by the strength of our self-resources, our flesh. We all have flesh. We all have gotten our needs met our way, and some are more socially acceptable than others. We've developed our flesh as a survival method of getting our needs met our way. Now, before we knew God, that was the only option we had. But for some of us, for reasons only God knows, we have more or stronger flesh than others that apply in this particular situation. Or we could say that some are better at using their self-resources than others. The point of the breaking process is to reveal that flesh. If we insist on continuing to rely on it, when God is trying to break us from that reliance, we can hinder that process. Though this, again, is completely under God's control and comes as no surprise to Him. But again, if we are forewarned, if we know ahead of time what flesh is, even though we won't be able to avoid the breaking process, the breaking and exposing of our flesh, we'll keep our hands off and allow Him to do His work. Finally, brokenness can be hindered by the interference of other people. Sometimes we'll ask for help, and sometimes they'll offer it without our asking. The phrase codependency has become quite popular in the church even, and describes the cycle of caregiver, rescuer, and victim as roles that help give meaning and boundaries to people's lives. Allowing people, allowing others to function in these roles in our lives manipulates us into playing other roles so that they can play their roles. For instance, allowing someone to rescue you in some way from a breaking circumstance in your life hinders the process and encourages the codependency, as does playing the role of rescuer for someone else. For instance, if you have a need to be needed, God will have to break you of that. If you have, again, that victim mentality where you need someone to rescue you, to take care of you, God will need to break you of that. When we look at how we approach life, how we approach others, how we see ourselves, God is breaking that. As the process continues, we learn to recognize these roles, and we learn to reject them. As we reject them, we embrace our new nature, our new identity, our new dependence on Christ. It is only then that His life, through us, can help other people, if and how He chooses. Now, others may insist on continuing to try to put you in those roles, but you will be equipped because of your having got your new attitude of gratitude. You'll allow them to be where they're at, but you will still be able to move forward as an overcomer. So the breaking process will change your relationships. It will change how you see yourself, how you see others and how you see God. But it's worth it. That rest and that freedom is worth it. So we'll pick it up here next Monday, talking about subsequent breakings, and then we're about ready to go into relinquishing our rights. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together tomorrow morning at 7:30. Until then, have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.